We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday. It is February 24th. It's 2021, and we have 9 NBA games to talk about here on today's slate. We got a bunch of back-to-backs, not a ton of totals, a lot of injury news. It's going to be a fun slate. And for fun slates, I bring on my good buddy, Chief Justice 06. Will, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing great, man. Excited for another pod with you. Listen, MLB, getting so close now. We're almost out of February. Can't wait for April 1st. In the meantime, we're going to keep turning some NBA, and then I'm going to have some big decisions to make because I'll be grinding NBA and MLB all at once. But nonetheless, man, just excited to come on with you and have some fun.
You know, I haven't even talked to Dan as far as the podcast goes, as far as baseball and basketball. So we all know which one I prefer. So we'll see how that all plays out. But anyway, we are presented by Monkey Knife Fight. If you guys haven't checked them out, they got a ton of stuff going on over there. The fastest growing single player DFS site out there. Our link is in the description. Get a 100% bonus up to $50 on your first deposit. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of getting some free money, checking it out, learning how, you know, you kind of play. They got NHL, they got golf, they got college basketball, League of Legends, UFC, NASCAR, soccer. I'm sure they'll have baseball stuff up. So basketball, like, make sure you guys are checking them out. Love what they're doing over there. Really appreciate them jumping on board and sponsoring the podcast. So check them out. Give them some love. Will, we got 9 games. We have 4 games of totals. We have a lot of injury news that we're waiting on. Got a lot of teams on back-to-backs. It's one of those slates. We start with Boston at Atlanta, and both of these teams are on a back-to-back. John Collins, concussion on Tuesday night. He won't play, right? Like, there's no way he clears, so he'll probably be out. I know that Cam Reddish was out on Tuesday dealing with, like, an Achilles injury. You know, Hunter's been out. Smart. I read somewhere that, like, he's not going to be back until after the All-Star break, so we don't have to worry about him playing. I think the big one here is probably Kimba. If he plays on the second end of a back-to-back, I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I don't think he's played a back-to-back yet this season.
No. He definitely has not played a back-to-back yet. So I don't expect him to play here, which means it's going to open things up for Pritchard. I don't mind Pritchard against Atlanta at 3,900. You know, we might get a little bit more Aaron Nesmith, who's a local legend from where I'm from here. Played at Vanderbilt. We may get a little bit more of him. Tatum's going to be big time in play along with Jaylen Brown. And, you know, Jaylen Brown's kind of been tailing off as of late, hasn't really dialed up massive upside consistently like he was doing earlier in the year. But in a spot where we may not get Kemba Walker, I definitely think he's going to be in play. I still think Tatum is going to be my favorite spend up from this team. But definitely Pritchard, I don't mind going back. And then a little sprinkle of Naismith in the event he creeps up to 30 minutes.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I do think that there's a good chance that Kemba sits here. It'd be interesting to see if like Tice or Thompson or any of these guys sit too. Pritchard's there as well. But like it feels to me like Aaron Naismith is the guy they want to get some extra minutes. He's like more earning those minutes than it seems like Pritchard is. So I'm with you on that call. We know that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both get a bump with Kemba off the floor. So I don't hate that. And, you know, on the other side of this game, you know, the Atlanta side, like, all right, if Cam Reddish misses the game, if Hunter's already out, we both think that John Collins is going to sit. Like, it's really hard to get through concussion protocol in like 2 or 3 days. I highly doubt
he's not going to do it. Coach basketball, and he's not going to be through it tomorrow.
I don't even think the doctors, like, I think he has to have like a day of no symptoms anyway. So like, we're going to rule him out. If he miraculously plays, we can go back and we can revisit it. But the other news here that like, I think that needs to be even brought up before we get into breaking this team down is, do we expect Gallinari to play? Like, he played a back-to-back coming back. Like, he played a little bit earlier this month. He played a back-to-back. But he played, like, 17 minutes in the first end of the back-to-back and then played 26 the night before. So, like, it's like Solomon Hill and Tony Snell are playing solid minutes against the Cavs on Tuesday night. I think that this is one of those games where the Collins news came out and it happened so late in the game. We have like two guys in this game at min's salary that could play 25 to 30 minutes. And listen, nobody wants to play Solomon Hill or Tony Snell in general, but 3K, if they get 20 to 25 minutes, like, I just, this is almost as bad as PJ Tucker. And PJ Tucker went as bad as it should have on Monday. But, like, I don't know.
Listen, my favorite play on this team is going to be Clint Capella. With no John Collins, I just, Stevie, we haven't gotten probably six. Well, I think Capella almost dropped 60 a couple games ago, but no John Collins. They're playing Boston. Boston does traditionally have a big on the floor, a Thompson, a Tice, a Robert Williams. Clint Capella is going to go nuclear here. I'm all over Clint Capella in this spot. Trae Young should have a pretty good day. The game should stay a lot more competitive with Kemba out. Kevin Huerter, he was having a big game already when I think, you know, earlier tonight. And at 5,400, I mean, he's going to be in play. And then, look, I'm with you, man. At 3K, Tony Snell, 3K, Solomon Hill. Here's the deal. If Gallinari were to get ruled out and Reddish doesn't play.
Oh, they both play 30 minutes.
Absolutely. I mean, who else are they going to? I mean, maybe they throw Brian Goodwin in at the two or something like that. But I just don't see that happening. I mean, Hill and Snell, they're going to be up there. And I mean, so I'm with you, man. I am more willing to play Solomon Hill and Tony Snell than PJ Tucker. At least I know these guys will shoot a little bit.
Yeah, I think, okay. So taking Collins, Bogdanovich, Reddish, Hunter, and Dunn off the floor, we get a 64-minute sample size, and Trae Young has a 41.6% usage rate, and he's averaging 1.87 fantasy points per minute. So let's not overlook the fact that Boston is not going to be like Marcus Smart out. Kemba probably not going to play. It's going to be a little bit easier defensive matchup for Trae Young too. So let's not overlook the fact that like this dude is going to have monster usage. And I know he's expensive and I know it's a back-to-back, but let's not overlook the fact that this guy could have a monster game here. You mentioned Capella. He averages 1.32 fantasy points per minute with Collins and these guys off the floor. But we're looking at like Tony Snell and Solomon Hill. Solomon Hill, about 5.5 fantasy points per minute, 0.55, and then Snell, 0.64. That puts you really close. Yeah, at 30 minutes, that puts you really close to around 18 to 20 points. And like, that won't kill you. A couple extra rebounds, and you get to that 25 mark at 3K. Like, it just opens up a lot. Roster construction wise, it's going to open up a ton. But really, per 36, almost 10% usage, almost 16 fantasy point increase for Trae Young. Capella actually goes down 2 fantasy points per 36. That's noise. Love Trae Young here. And then we go to Houston at Cleveland. Cleveland's on a second end of a back-to-back. They're actually playing Atlanta. That game's super competitive on Tuesday night. Houston, no DeMarcus Cousins, as we know. Exum's out. Wood is out. And then Eric Gordon and Oladipo are questionable. So this is, I feel like this is some of the biggest news we're waiting on, because with DeMarcus Cousins gone, I wasn't too shocked that they like kind of released him. Didn't shock me at all. You know, Boogie's had a rough go ever since he tore his Achilles a couple years ago.
Yeah, I hate it for him because he was a monster. He was a beast.
But like they say, that's one of the hardest injuries to come back from NBA. Let's start with Houston. Will, ton of news here, right? We're waiting on the Oladipo news. We're waiting on the Eric Gordon news. If these guys are out, I know Jason Tate is 6,200, but I don't care. And like Nwaba's 51, House is 52. Obviously, we like John Wall, but if we get news that Oladipo and Eric Gordon are going to sit, these guys are going to have to play a gazillion minutes.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, that's just what it's going to be. You know, Tate is already a guy that I kind of liked anyway the other day. You know, and on FanDuel, he was a lot more expensive the other day. But you said it, man. House, Nwaba. And Nwaba's a guy that he can really dial up the production when he gets the minutes. He only got 27 minutes and put up 40 fantasy points in Chicago. I like this spot. It's not like they're playing some juggernaut. I'm willing to go right back to the well with John Wall. I know he had a rough go at it. You know, you talked about Oladipo. You talked about Gordon. Those guys said it's really going to open it up, man. So this is probably going to be the team of the night for value, maybe alongside Atlanta. Like, we're basically coming in hot, Stevie. 7:30 games, plenty of value. I like this team, you know, no matter what. Even if even Oladipo or Gordon are out, there's still value in this team with no Boogie in place.
Listen, like, you're going to adjust to the news here, because if Oladipo plays, he's a great play. If Oladipo sits and Eric Gordon plays, Eric Gordon's a good play. If they both sit, John Wall and some of these value guys are good plays. So you just kind of have to kind of adjust to the news here. As far as Cleveland goes, we know that, like, we're probably not going to see Kevin Love, let's be honest. Drummond, I highly doubt he comes back before the All-Star break, because they're trying to move him, right? Like, isn't that the thing? They're trying to move him.
Yeah, trying to move him for sure. Absolutely.
And like, they have until the middle of March, end of March, right? I know I think it's like March 23rd, 25th, somewhere in that range. But anyway, what are we looking at here as far as Cleveland goes? You know, Cleveland's on the second end of a back-to-back, but Houston, man, if some of these guys are out, they have not played great defense recently.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think with Cleveland, you're going to want to play Jared Allen against Houston. I mean, that just feels like an automatic 45-ish, somewhere up in there. I think he's a guy you're going to want to play. And then outside of that, I think you're just getting into the guard play. Like, do you want to play up for Garland? Do you want to pay up for Sexton in this spot? Those, I think, are going to be the questions. And now it looks to me, Stevie, like Sexland is back, where you're seeing Sexton dial up the upside and Garland dial up the upside. And that's what it feels like to me. And I know Garland's 6,500, but against Houston, he could put up 40. I know Sexton's 7,400. Against Houston, he could put up 40. Like, those are risks I'm willing to take in this spot. And the other thing, too, is Cleveland's still a little shorthanded. So we've seen Sexton and Garland continue to still get their 30-plus minutes, even in, you know, really dire circumstances. So I like this team. This would probably be a really good game stack if the value breaks our way.
We move on to Golden State at Indiana, 228.5 total here. Pacers favored by 2. It is a back-to-back for Golden State, so we'll wait and see if any news comes out of there. We know that Curry returned after sitting out. You know, he's played back-to-backs this season. I don't think, like, it was a back-to-back thing. I think that he ate the fish. And then on the Pacers side of things, like, LeVert and Warren are out. Let's start here with Golden State. What do you like here for the Warriors?
Man, I'm so sad at that. I feel like Draymond Green has disappeared. No big deal. I'm not that excited about the Warriors in this spot, Stevie. They're probably going to be a team that I maybe take the fade on. Possibly Kelly Oubre. Like, possibly. But even at 7K, I don't know. I don't think I have to do it. I think I'm just going to be fading the Warriors, Steve. I don't think I'm going to play anyone.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on this one. All right. I think you can play Draymond here. More of just like, I think he struggles when Steph is out, just in general. And you look at the Tuesday game, and the Warriors kind of got up a little bit, and then Knicks made a run. But Draymond is – we're a minute and 45 to go in the third quarter, and Draymond has 7 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. Curry's back. They correlate so well together. And it's because Draymond makes crazy passes. They play a two-man game sometimes. Like, Curry uses these guys in a two-man game. So the fact that, like, the game log doesn't look great for Draymond puts me on him a little bit more too. I hate the fact that it's a back-to-back. I hate the fact that he's going to have to play against these bigs for Indiana. But, like, is Sabonis and Turner really going to guard Draymond? Like, we saw this, like, when they played Orlando. I was at that game. And, like Draymond extends the floor where, like, you can't put, like, Vooch or somebody on Draymond because, like, now on the other side, like, Draymond's a beast defensively. This guy plays at 110% all the time, so he can guard a guy like Vooch. He's going to pick up some stupid fouls. I think Draymond's in play here. I think you can always play Curry, but I think there's better spend-up options on this slate. But I think the more I think about Draymond Green, the more I like him. Maybe they use Wiseman a little bit more. I don't know if they use him on the second end of a back-to-back, but, like, he's playing decent minutes against the Knicks in his first game back.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think the only reason why I was thinking about not using Draymond is just because everyone was back. Like, that was kind of my thoughts. Like, with Wiseman back, and Pascal back, and Looney back.
Don't,
like,
matter. Draymond plays point guard / center.
I know. It was just... You know, maybe they take a rebound here, a point there. You know, that was my thought process behind it. But you're right, Stevie. I totally get that. You know, Wiseman at 48, like, man, I just wish he was playing 25 minutes every night. Like, why are they doing this?
I highly doubt he plays over 20 minutes on the second end of a back-to-back after coming.
I know. And he took 12 shots in the Detroit game back in January. And so it's like, man, he was kind of getting a groove. And I don't know, man. I don't think I can play him. Like, he's not going to see the minutes. I'm with you. I don't think he sees the minutes. And I'm very disappointed about this.
Do you like anything here for the Pacers?
Man, I mean, I wish TJ Warren was back. Like, that'd be outstanding in this spot. I can't pay 10-5 for Sabonis. I think Turner, in terms of GPP upside, like, when he's down in this low 6K range, I think you just play him sometimes. Like, this feels like a spot where you play him. 6,100, he gets you 40. Like, you got a shot to take down a GPP. Other than that, I'm not really too high on, you know, one pace or the other.
Minnesota at Chicago, 227 half total here. Chicago favored by 4.5. Minnesota's on a second end of a back-to-back. We'll have to see. I doubt D'Angelo Russell comes back. You know, we'll see if Karl-Anthony Towns plays on the second end of a back-to-back. Rubio plays on the second end of a back-to-back. I know they've played a back-to-back recently, and Kat played full minutes in both games, so I think he'll play both. And then LeVert and Warren are still – or not LeVert and Warren, Markkanen and Porter. I was looking at the wrong game. What do you like here for Minnesota?
I like this game, man. This is an Anthony Edwards spot for me. Price has come back down. I know he hasn't really dialed up the performances. He went through a little, you know, kind of a little hot rookie stretch there where he was really dialing it up. I'm willing to go back right back to the well. Malik Beasley isn't someone that I play every day, but I'm willing to play him in this spot as well at 6,500 against Chicago. You know, this will get you a little different in tournaments. And then, of course, you know, if Cat is in the building, like, I'm more than willing to play Cat at 9,700, man, against this Chicago team. Those are the guys I'm willing to invest in.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously Karl-Anthony Towns is someone I think we have to be looking at here, just in general. And then, you know, when you're looking at the Chicago side of things, like, Zach LaVine's been the guy. And like, they get a fantastic matchup here against Minnesota, a team that's just not good whatsoever defensively. Like, even if we look like recent defense, they're still like 17th. Like, they're a lot worse than that on the season, but they're still like 17th recent defense-wise. So I think, like, Zach LaVine could potentially fly under the radar here, but, like, I don't love it. Like, I, you know, like, when I'm looking at a guy that's 9,600, I feel like I have to love it. And, like, I called Wendell Carter Jr.'s big game the other night. I don't mind going back to the well on him here against Cat. Like, I think he would probably be the guy that I'd potentially look at the most from Chicago.
Yeah, 5,800, man. Like, I mean, I think he's in play. You know, Dad only got 20 minutes, still put up 33 fantasy points. Like, but you just can't trust that. Like, Dad has really been a crazy fantasy producer this year, but you can't trust a guy playing 20 minutes at 5,900. If Dad was 4,500, I'd be more than willing to take the risk. You know, Williams is up to 5,100. Don't hate it, but I don't love it. You know, Valentine at 4K, but he's back down to his, you know, kind of non-role. Look, man, it's Zach LaVine or bust. That's kind of where I'm at. Tomas Satoransky is a guy that I thought was kind of going to pop for us this year, but he's not really there yet either. Carter, LaVine, that's it. I don't even want to play Kobe White at 6,500.
We move on. Toronto at Miami. It's a back-to-back for Toronto. Kyle Lowry ended up sitting on Tuesday night. You know, anytime that you're questionable and you get downgraded to doubtful, you're hardly ever going to play. And then on the Miami side of things, like, Bradley's out again, Leonard's out, but Gordon Dragic and Tyler Hero are both questionable. Well, this is one of those ones the night before you're just like, oh, I have to break this one down. I'm going to pull my hair out a little bit.
Yeah, tell me about it, man. You know, let's see what nuggets we can uncover. Not many. We don't know if Kyle Lowry is going to play, and that's a big deal because he's going to impact Powell. He's going to impact, you know, how this rotation is. I do think OG still has some upside, right? So, like, if he's going to get 30 minutes, like, he's a guy that could pop. So he would kind of be in my tournament pool there. And then, you know, Mr. Bobby Boucher himself, Chris Boucher, 5,900. I love when his price starts to come back down. I feel a little bit better about playing him. You know, we know he's a guy that has tremendous upside. So I think, you know, if you're playing in tournaments at 5,900, I think you take a shot on him. And that's kind of where I'm at, man. All in all, I mean, Fred VanVleet is always in play in terms of, you know, because he has the upside. But I would prefer to wait to see if we get the Kyle Lowry news.
You're going to have to. Obviously, like, you know, we talked about it on the podcast yesterday. If Lowry's out, you can fire shots at VanVleet. And, like, it's just a – like, I was watching a little bit of that game, and, like, it is just slow. Like, Philly and Toronto are just playing, like, super slow. And I'm worried – well, I'm worried about that being the same case here. It's the second end of a back-to-back for Toronto – Miami already plays pretty slow in general. So like, I'm just like overall worried about like just not enough possessions in this game for like my expensive guys to get there. Like Miami's 21st in pace over the last five games, Toronto 17. And like, this might be one of those games, like with Toronto on the second end of a back-to-back, we even see a slower game. And like, we're about to talk about like Jimmy Butler and Bam. And like, I think I might just fully fade this game and hope it ends like 95-90.
I don't hate that call. We're not going to see that too many times in the NBA. If the Knicks were thrown into the mix, I think we might have been able to take the under on this game and run to the house. Old Tommy Tibbs loves the under, but I'm with you, man. This game isn't appealing now. You know, if Hero's out, man, like I do think you can still play Kendrick Nunn. He's going to play all the minutes he can handle. At 6,100, a guy playing 40 minutes, he's just going to be in play, man. I think he's probably going to be everyone's favorite target, but it's going to be warranted.
We move on. Detroit at New Orleans. Hey, look, another team on the back-to-back. That's Detroit. They just mashed my Magic. And then New Orleans, they're good health-wise. 223 total here in New Orleans, favored by 9.5. We know Wright is out for Detroit. We know Blake Griffin is out. Steven Adams will be back for New Orleans. What do we like here for Detroit?
Oh, man, it looks like we need to be playing Saban Lee. If you've experimented with Dennis Smith Jr. for a second night, I did not. But it looks like Saban Lee is actually the starter but just comes off the bench. So I think that's a value spot where you can plant your flag. Wayne Ellington was out tonight, but I think he'll be back. I mean, he was out for the previous game. He'll be back for this game. He's 3,600. I think this is a spot that you can look at him as well because this game should be pretty up and down. Josh Jackson up to 6K now. Not as enthused about that, but that's okay. Jeremy Grant, you know, maybe you play him, maybe you don't. His upside has really, you know, kind of taken a tank here. He's now back down to where he's more of a, you know, mid-30s fantasy point producer. At 7,600, I still think he has some upside, but he's not on my must play list. Sadiq Bey is in the same category. My favorite play from this team is probably going to be Plumlee and Saben Lee. And then that's going to be it.
Yeah, Saben Lee. I don't hate Plumlee here. They're going to need him to play minutes in this matchup. I don't hate Bay. Jackson, like his price is, he's the guy that's going to get a lot of like second team usage, especially if they use that same like starting lineup they used. Wayne Ellington, I just worry about him playing enough minutes. Like he's had a game recently where he played big minutes, but he just hasn't had a big game. So I think you're looking at Lee and potentially Plumlee. And then on New Orleans side of things, like Zion is finally breaking out. But like, you're going to need him to have like a monster at 8,800.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're pretty much, you know, in my mind, I'm looking for 50 at that price. And, I think he's got the upside, but it's very risque, and I don't think he's going to be an absolute must play on this slate. So that's kind of where I am. I don't really want to play anybody from New Orleans, man. It's really weird because him and Ingram are priced appropriately. Ball is at 6,400, and he's got upside too. But you know, I just don't really feel good about any one player from this team.
And then like, yeah, I just Josh Hart, man. Like I feel like he's someone you could potentially take some shots on right now just because of the price and like they're willing to let him stay on the floor when he's playing really well. Like, yeah. I think he'd be the one guy that you'd potentially be looking at for like some value here, for New Orleans.
Yeah, I totally get it, man. I mean, he has been playing well, you know, overall for his role. Last but not least, can we put J.J. Redick in the same category as Blake and Drummond? And I'm not saying don't play him. I'm saying can we just trade him to a contender? Like, I mean, they're really wasting the rest of his career this year, like just sitting him on the bench. I mean, let the guy come in and give you some action. I mean, anyway, I'm not going to get into that, but they're destroying the end of his career.
I mean, Stan Van Gundy destroyed the beginning of his career too. It's just all fitting. Coming from a huge JJ Redick fan, Magic fan, and someone that didn't love Stan Van Gundy. San Antonio at OKC. Man, I feel like we haven't seen San Antonio play in a month.
You're going to be very surprised at this list.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, they missed four games here recently because of a COVID outbreak. DeMar DeRozan out for personal reasons. LMA is questionable. Rudy Gay is out. Keldon Johnson's out. Derek White is out. And then on the OKC side, George Hill is still out. So obviously, we're looking at San Antonio here. And I will say, for the most part, none of these guys are priced appropriately. First of all, it's a matchup with OKC. And, the Thunder over the last five games, they are ranked, 10th, I think, or 11th. They're, in that 10th to 11th range as far as, defensive rating. But, honestly, there's not a huge difference between, 10th and 20th right now in that short span. So, not really worried defensively about the Thunder. So, I don't even know. I was looking at this on Court IQ before we started. And it's just so hard to kind of justify what we're potentially looking at here because, hardly any of these guys have played a lot, minutes together at, a long period of time. You get very small sample size, right? The highest sample you get is Trey Lyles at 35 minutes. So yeah, we love to use our tools. We love to try to research and try to figure things out. But DeJounte Murray has played 2.5 minutes this season with all these guys off the floor. So, all right, we're taking a guessing game. I think the guessing game is DeJounte Murray is going to have a ton of usage. If LaMarcus Aldridge is out, Poto's going to play a bunch of minutes.
I don't think LaMarcus is going to play a bunch of minutes either way.
Yeah. So, you have to kind of think, all right, Patty Mills, Lonnie Walker, they can put up shots. They're going to get some usage. Trey Lyles off the bench is going to get some usage. I don't even know because Weatherspoon is out too. So, is Trey Jones going to play 25 minutes?
And Devin Vassell is out as well,
Yeah, Vassell's out as well. So, I guess they have right at 8. If LaMarcus plays, I think they have right at 9. I think they have 9. That's the reason they're playing this game is because they have enough. Bates Diop, he's going to play minutes here. I think the moral of the story here is if Pop doesn't pop us, then DeJounte, Poeltl, Mills, and Walker, all four of these guys are to play as many minutes as they can handle. And they're playing OKC. You can play rosters, I think, with two or three of these guys because of the pricing.
Stevie, I think you can play rosters with four of them.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you.
I mean, you're going to get Murray at 74. You're going to get – so the thing is, Patty's 43, Lonnie's 37, and Trey Lyles is 32. And then you got Poeltl at 64, which is still very affordable. And he's probably going to play 30-plus minutes for sure. I mean, this is going to be – so first of all, Stevie, or second of all, the Spurs have been too cheap all year, even when they're fully healthy. Now they're not healthy at all, and half the team's 3K. It's – just play the Spurs, man. Just play the Spurs. You play Murray. You play Poeltl. You play two cheap guys. You give yourself a chance to win the money. It's just how it works.
Yeah. On the Thunder side. All right. So the biggest mistake people make, right? When we get these situations, the biggest mistake that we make that a lot of casual players and anywhere, any type of player, the biggest mistake in DFS is we stack one side of a game because there's not a lot of players and nobody plays the other side of the game. And SGA is expensive. I'm not going to sit here and argue that, but Al Horford is $6,400. I think he's someone you can take a shot on. I think you can take shots on Maldon, Diallo. What are your thoughts when it comes to the Thunder? Because I want to run it back.
Yeah, man, I think maybe you need to get some SGA exposure, 85. He feels a tad expensive on this slate, but, you know, he's the one that has the most upside right now. Like, it's just the bottom line. You do have Al Horford at 6,400. Don't hate it. But I don't feel like Horford is completely necessary. I think you maybe try to squeeze in SGA or maybe a Dort. Like, the guys that you know are going to get you minutes in the 30s. Like, Dort may actually be one of my favorites. And you guys know how much I love Hamadou Diallo, but they just don't seem excited about playing him, you know, 28 minutes as a six man. They seem to just, when everybody's healthy, they seem to give him a lot lower minutes. So, and maybe I'm wrong and maybe they're going to change that, but I think Lou Dort may be my favorite run back in the game.
Hey, listen, I'm on board. 5,100. Let's do it. Like, even if you're stacking like two or three from San Antonio, to make your lineups unique and different, play some OKC, because like that's the biggest mistake people make when they don't, when they're running a very heavy stack on one side because of injuries. So,
and last thing, Steve, let me squeeze this in. SGA is 7,500 on FanDuel. Like, I think on FanDuel, you're playing the Spurs, you're playing SGA. Like, period.
I'm in. Charlotte at Phoenix, no total in this game. Graham is out. Hayward is questionable. And then on the Phoenix side of things, Nader is questionable. I don't think that matters too much. But Gordon Hayward dealing with a hand injury here. We know that, you know, Graham is out. Like, LaMelo had 20 shots the other night. Like, what are we looking at here with Charlotte facing a Phoenix team that they're playing the bubble Phoenix basketball. They're playing great again.
Yeah, they are, man. They're fantastic. Rozier only got up 11 shots in this Utah game. I'm not fooled by that. The three games before, he was pretty much at 20 or more, and we saw the production. I'm right back to the well on Terry Rozier in this spot, man. He's actually my favorite Hornet at 7,900. With Hayward out, I think we're probably going to get a lot more Miles Bridges. Like, Miles Bridges at 4,700? Oh, man, sign me up here. So he's going to be a guy that I look at as well. We've got a lot of value in this slate. I don't think a lot of people are going to want to play LaMelo. But at 8,900, I mean, he could still hit 55 fantasy points. He could hit 60 fantasy points. It's possible. Not saying he's going to do it. I'm definitely willing to spend up on LaMelo, especially when we've got all this value. I can just see it now. You play the Spurs, you know, play a couple Hornets in there, hope the game stays competitive, and try to ride this thing to the money. We are on a tough road stretch, though. Just play Utah. Now we're playing Phoenix. Pray for my Hornets if you can.
So I don't even know. Like, if Gordon Hayward sits, do you think Malik Monk plays 30 minutes?
Oh boy.
I don't like Malik Monk playing 25, but I think if he got 30, he is somewhat interesting.
I cap him at 28 because at least one of the Martin twins is back. You know they're going to play Bridges, and PJ Washington is back too. So the rotation isn't as far off as it was. Like, if PJ was out, I probably would think he got 31 to 32 minutes. I think he's capped at 28 because I think Bridges is going to play 30 minutes in this game. I mean, we saw, you know, he played 31 against Minnesota, 37 against San Antonio, 31 against Washington. Like, when PJ was out, he was playing big minutes. I think he gets the minutes.
Yeah, like, overall, I think that I think, like, Charlotte is a tough team to trust here, but if Hayward sits.
Yeah, that's the caveat, yeah.
Right. The other question is, like, if Hayward sits, does this game stay close? I think, like, that is something that, like, we have to, like, think about. But, like, 29% usage for LaMelo Ball, 26% usage for Rozier. both of these guys are going to have big usage here. PJ Washington actually gets a usage increase. So there's enough usage to go around with Hayward and with Graham off that if this game stays close, you definitely could see some value here from the Charlotte side. What do you like here? What do you like here for Phoenix? Just so you guys know, these Bridges brothers, they're not brothers. They both have last name, but they're not brothers.
Yeah, man. For
it's
sure.
not a battle of like the Morris brothers. This is not the brothers battling off here for the Bridges.
Yeah. Listen, Chris Paul, man, I've been playing so much Chris Paul. And look, you may look at these past two games and say, well, he's been terrible. They've been blowing people out. Like, so don't get it confused. So I like Chris Paul, man. 7,700. He's really dialed up the upside this season. Obviously, he's an all-star yet again. Deservedly, too, man. Deservedly. So he's a guy that I like. And honestly, that's about it, Stevie. Chris Paul's kind of my guy. Don't hate Ayton. Don't hate it. But Chris Paul's my guy.
We finish out with the Lakers at Utah, 220 total here. Utah favored by 4. Anthony Davis and Schroeder both out. Kyle Kuzma popped up on the injury report, but they say he's probable. Let's start here with the Lakers. This is a tough matchup. Utah's playing some of the best basketball in the NBA, if not the best basketball in the NBA right now. I tweeted out they won 22 of the last 24. Well, they just beat Charlotte. So they've won 23 of their last 25 games.
Throw it in my face.
They crushed Charlotte. Let's be honest. Listen, my team just lost to Detroit. What do you like here for the Lakers?
Not much. LeBron's going to control this game as much as he can. But if Utah starts hitting shots, they're done. So I don't think I want to play any Lakers at all. I think I'm just going to let this game pass me by. And if LeBron goes off for 70, he goes off for 70.
Yeah, this game, I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass. Like, it just isn't, like, the whole game. I want Thank nothing you. To do with this game.
Yeah. And Stevie, I think the listeners, hopefully the listeners will realize we weren't trying to do it, but we're probably going to focus on about four games on this slate. Boston, Houston, maybe a little bit of Minnesota, Chicago, and then we're probably going to San Antonio, OKC, and maybe some Charlotte, Phoenix exposure if Gordon Hayward is out. Like, that's the slate, in my opinion. Even though it's 9 games, I mean, it's like a 5-game slate for me.
I don't know, man. I think overall, you look at it and I know I just said I want to skip this game in general. Harrell's been playing really good, and like, it's just a minutes thing. If you find him on any site, like cheap, or like he has like a good multiplier on like Super Draft or something, maybe you take a shot. That's all I got. Let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. We'll ship it off for Wednesday and get on to Thursday. Favorite play under 5K to 7X. Who do you like here?
So many, Stevie. I'm gonna go with my homeboy here, hometown. I am going with Mr. Miles Bridges, 4,700. I'm expecting him to start. Let's get it.
All right. I think there's a bunch of plays on this slate, but I'm gonna go Sabian Lee. I think he's just gonna play really solid minutes in this game. You know, played 33 against the Magic the other night, and then tonight against the Magic, like, he played 29 minutes. So with Wright out, I know DSJ is getting the start, like you said. I just think that Lee, he's getting like that second team usage, but he's still getting like that 30 minute mark. And at 3,800 back to back games with over 30 fantasy points, I'm just going to ride it. I'm going to ride it until like I shouldn't be doing it. So I like Sabian Lee here. Over 8K to go under 5X. Will, who's your bust today?
LeBron James.
All right. I'm going to go Bam Adebayo.
I like it, Stevie.
I almost said Jimmy Butler. And if anybody's been listening to the podcast for the last few weeks,
don't
you know,
do it.
You know how I can't say that. He's been crushing. I'm going to go Bam. I just think this game's going to be low scoring. I'm hoping it's going to be low scoring. LA, Utah, like you went, Miami, Toronto. Those are just two games that I think I can make this a 7-game slate. And, you know, there's a couple other games that maybe you just play some value from. Favorite 6X play, Will, who do you got?
Man, I've actually got a couple, but I'm going to stick with this guy. Had a fantastic performance and starting to put up big numbers. I'm going Jared Allen from Cleveland. I know it's a back-to-back. 7,700, man. They've given him the keys, Stevie, and he's starting to produce.
Yeah, I'm going to go DeJounte Murray. If he plays anywhere remotely close to 35 to 40 minutes, he's going to smash in this spot. Like,
yeah. And I know I didn't mention any Spurs, but like I just kind of figured that was a given with all those. I mean, half the team's 3K. Like, take your pick.
You're looking at player props for some of these guys and just trying to find something. Let's get weird. GPP play of the day, Will. Who do you got?
Man, Terry Rozier, 7,900. He's been dialing up the upside. Didn't quite get there in Utah for obvious reasons. And yes, Phoenix is playing fantastic. But if Terry Rozier gets up 20 shots, he's on his way to 50 fantasy points. Give me scary Terry.
All right. I said Wendell Carter Jr. the other day. I don't know if he'll be popular or not. I want to say him again. I'm trying to decide like if I think he's going to be under 10%. I'm going to say Wendell Carter Jr. if he's over 10%, when I look at projected ownership in the morning, I'll tweet somebody else out. Game selection, anything standing out to you here on FanDuel or DraftKings?
Well, man, you know, I talked about it, man.
Well, you talked to me about it. You didn't talk to the listeners about it.
Yeah, correct. Correct. Absolutely. I did talk to you about it. This one looks really tasty, man. This $200 three-entry max splash. My goodness. Love contests like this. 60K to first. I mean, 60K total, 12K up top, 8K second, 5K third, 3K fourth. You see the drill. You know, pretty flat payout structure. I really like it. Now, you know, at the bottom, you're only getting 1.5 times your money. So you're not getting the full 400 right at the bottom. But still, the contest structure, I like it, man. 60K splash, $200 three-entry max.
So I got a DM. I'm not going to call anybody out, but I got a DM the other day. And it's like, why do you only talk about expensive contests when you do the game selection on the podcast? So listen, the rest of the week, I'm going to find low-dollar contests for you guys because, listen, I want to help everybody. I don't purposely do anything like that. I love my listeners. Like, so there's a $2 single-entry tournament over there on FanDuel today. 5,900 people. You're going to have to get a little off the board here to take this tournament down, but somebody's going to turn $2 into a grand. And like, all right. But it pays 23% of the field. Min cash is 2X. Top 10 is only getting 22% of the prize pool, which is fantastic when you're trying to build a bankroll. So if you're building a bankroll, if you're trying to get better at single entry, if you're a lower stakes player, check out the $2 NBA block over there on FanDuel. If you're a higher stakes player, check out the $25 single entry series tournament over there on FanDuel. So rest of the week, Thursday, Friday, I'll point out some other stuff for you lower stakes players. Anytime you guys have feedback for the podcast, hit me up. I'm usually very open to feedback. Unless I don't get sleep, then I'm cranky. Will, favorite over under against the spread? What do you got for me today?
I mean, I think, and hear me out on this, I actually think I'm going to take the under in this Timberwolves Bulls game at under 227.5. And I know that feels crazy, but I feel like I'm going to take the under. I think this could be a blowout city here. The Bulls have actually been playing okay recently, and they may get a little bit more healthy, just a tad, even though marketing's out. I like the Bulls here. I'm going to take the under 227.5.
I mean, like when I'm looking at over under and stuff and I'm working on stuff for scores and odds, I think like there's some criteria, right? Like like net rating, both these teams have negative net rating over the last five games. Both these teams are in the bottom 15 in pace over the last five games. So, you know, I think you look at this game and like, all right, I could see getting on the under. This is one of those games that I'd wait till the morning or even closer to lock, because I do think the public eye will bet this game up. So I think you could actually get, you know, some value waiting until it gets a little bit closer. For me, listen, the Lakers are bad right now, and the Utah Jazz are playing some of the best basketball, you know, in the NBA in general. And I just, it's hard for me not to like Utah minus eight. I like this spot a lot. We've seen a Lakers team go from like third or fourth in net rating to 19th. This team's struggling without Anthony Davis. LeBron can only do so much. Utah is a great basketball team. I'm going to take Utah minus eight. There's a couple other lines that I want to see. I want to see the over-under in that Toronto-Miami game. I already told you guys I think that game's going to be slow-paced, not a lot of possessions. So I definitely want to be looking at the over-under in that game when that gets out. So, Will, any final thoughts before we get out of here? You got to unmute your mic, rookie.
Oh, man, I'm looking at the stats here. I was saying, nah, man, let's take it to the house.
All right, that's going to wrap it up here for Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow talking some more NBA. Good luck in your contest, and we'll see you guys then.